Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
I can't wait to speak to our guests this evening, and you'll understand why. You will understand why. Hello, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Do you recognize the song that's playing right now?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my goodness. Talk to me about why you recognize the song. Why do we have that song in the world right now? That particular song.
You know what's funny is that song was not, so it was me, it was, actually I wasn't there. It was Sia, Ndushezi, Johnny, and we, and Robin, and I'd asked them to arrange the songs.
Yeah.
And they were just playing around. They said, guys, why don't we do this song in a different way? And the rest is history.
Listen, when Christmas rolled around and we heard the song, we were just like, oh, yes, Itender version. Yeah, bo, thank you for this offering. It is so brilliant. Let me actually let people know who you are, because I do, and I'm very excited to be talking to you this evening. Our shapeshifter today is Sam Chiwanda, the founder and CEO of Click Mobile, an international firm with over 8 branches across Africa and the Middle East. Sam has managed to grow Click Mobile from running open source platforms to robust commercial platforms. And in 2022, Samuel Chiwanda was listed as number 7. Did you hear that perfect number in the Roco Awards? And a few months later, in November 2022, he won the CXO of the Year Award at the Africa Tech Awards. If I had those hand clap stuff, I'd be like, let's give it up for Sam. But I'm going to do it anyway. Let's give it up for Sam. Yeah. Sam, I'm very excited to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for the humbling introduction. It's quite humbling.
Oh, man, I love it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me, what was the 10-year-old Sam dreaming about?
Yo, it's when I was 10, for me, it was just getting by.
Okay.
And enjoying my childhood. Uh-huh. But I remember, which has not happened. I remember I used to fantasize of being rich because I was born in a very poor family.
Okay.
So I remember I'll tell my friends that I'm going to have a car that opens the doors automatically. But I was just a young guy just fantasizing and just being a child and wishing we could be like the neighbors.
Yeah. So it sounds like you grew up around an area and in an area where there were haves and have-nots, and you were obviously the have-nots.
Yes, correct. That is very correct.
So how are you able to reconcile that? I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the lady was saying that she was telling her kids to pack toys for the less privileged. And the kids were confused to say, what? They don't have money? They don't have parents? Why don't they have parents? Why don't their mummies work? What's going on? So how were you able to reconcile what you were seeing, which was not what you were seeing at home?
I think it taught us contentment.
Oh.
And also accepting your situation. I grew up at a time when people were a little selfless.
Okay.
I remember we didn't have a fridge. I actually bought the first fridge in my parents' house when I was on my way to university.
Whoa.
But we always had our food kept at the neighbors.
Mm.
We never had a car, but I remember those days when a car has a breakdown and you push it, the neighbors will give you a ride.
Yeah.
So we somehow shared these things in one way or the other. We used to accept that my friend Mpilo has a bike.
Yeah.
I don't have a bike, but tomorrow I will ride a bike because Mpilo has a bike.
It's our bike. Okay.
Yes.
It's a community bike.
Yes, yes. So I think our communities were quite, like, I think even my friend's parents used to act like my parents.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a unified community.
Yeah. You grew up in Malawi, right?
I grew up in Solusi, Zimbabwe.
Oh, in Zim.
Yes.
Oh, Okay, that's very interesting. So now tell me, you're dreaming of this, of having a car, possibly a self-driving car. I don't know the details of your dreams, but at home, sure, things weren't great. The circumstances weren't great, but the people you had in the home, do you think they were incubators, or do you believe they were incubators of that dream, or you had to fight to bring those dreams to life yourself?
Now, one thing that was interesting with our childhood is, in as much as we didn't have much, we were happy.
Oh.
Mom taught us that a loaf of bread was supposed to be enough for all of us, even if it comes once a week.
Yeah.
We knew that if I get 3 or 4 slices, it means my sister won't have a slice.
Yeah.
So happiness was there, and my mom made sure we studied, we did our homework, and always told us, if you work hard in school, you'll have that which I don't have. Mm-hmm. So she used to push us to study. So yes, they could have been incubators because they prepared us for the future in one way or the other.
And what were the threats then? Given that at home they were incubators, what were the threats to the dream you had as a child? What were the things that would have stood in the way of you becoming the person you wanted to be?
School fees. Ooh. I think school fees is a big problem, especially for pastor's kids. Yeah. I'm a pastor's kid.
Okay.
And primary school wasn't bad. We would be kicked out of school and then go to the staff houses, slash, and maybe clean up and get some money and get back to school. But I think it started getting really tricky when we went to high school, and university was really tough. So that would have easily stolen my dream.
Yeah. And how didn't you let it? What did you do to not let it steal your dream?
Oh, it's crazy. I don't know which one you want to hear.
Listen,
secondary school or university?
I want to hear it all because it will lead us to the person that you are right now, right? So let's hear it.
So secondary school, what I did, it's dramatic. I knew my dad was a pastor, right? So he was able to pay the first term school fees. But I knew I'd have trouble with the other terms. So what I did, I asked my dad to write a letter. I went to the division and spent the whole day like a mini strike at the treasurer's office and told him, I want to go to school. My dad doesn't have money and he works for the church.
Oh, so you've always been a rebel. Keep going. Reveal
more. No, I think I was just going for my rights.
Yes.
Not even rights. I mean, that's the wrong term, but I just needed help. I needed to get to school, and that was the only way I could do it. So I remember then Mr. Stilko was the under's treasurer, and it was on a Friday. Everybody was about to leave for lunch, and later he just wrote a letter telling the school, please channel some school fees to the division.
Oh, look at that.
He's now and to be passed to his father to pay.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And then varsity, what did you get up to?
Varsity was a mess because I remember my dad kept saying school fees is coming. That was 2001.
Yeah.
2002, school fees is coming. But I pulled a move of faith and I applied in Baraton and they accepted me. 2003, September, the pressure started mounting because my friends who I was with in high school are telling me how they are now about to finish and go for their masters. Others are in Australia. Others are in America. And I'm stuck in Malawi, and it's getting really frustrating. So I told my dad, can you write me a letter that says, this is my son, and I work for the church, school fees is coming. So I jumped on a bus from Malawi to Kenya. That was 2 days.
Samuel.
And because I couldn't afford a full seat, I sat on a bucket all of the way to Baraton. When I got there, I had sores on my bum. That's a story for another day. But a miracle happened in Baraton because the letter was not sufficient for me to be in school. I was supposed to be sent back. So I'm in school and everybody's talking about overdraft, Western Union, bank transfer. I mean, that's how their fees are coming.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there with a letter and I'm like, how am I going to do this? So the next day, I'm supposed to go to the finance office. My friend Kama has given me instructions, but I decided to go to the registrar because he was from Malawi.
Yeah.
I thought somehow he'll pull a miracle for me.
Mm.
And the registrar said, no, go back, go to finance first, then you'll come here after finance.
Yeah.
So I knew that was what I was supposed to do, but I knew finance is going to send me back and I was supposed to go back home.
Mm.
When I got into the finance office, oh my goodness, you know, God is just amazing.
Yeah.
There were so many students and the accounts guys were getting overwhelmed. So I entered here and Amon Karanja said, those who are church sponsored this side.
Okay.
Those who are self-sponsored this side. Then he says, I'll start with the church sponsored because theirs is straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
I remember he got my letter. He just looked at the letterhead. He didn't read.
What?
And he said, Malamulo, Malawi, you know, the church started in Malawi.
Yeah.
Welcome. And then he looked at his fellow accountant and said, we have a new Malawian.
Oh.
I was registered. I started all my university without paying school fees.
There
they discovered
no
I was a church sponsor after I graduated.
What?
Yes.
Didn't they
miracle.
Come for you? Didn't they come for you after that?
I paid my fees like 5 years ago.
That is a crazy story.
It
but
is.
You know
it
what?
Is. It's a miracle, actually.
I love hearing these stories because you sort of understand why people are the way they are right now, right? I have been an entrepreneur for 5 years. And let me tell you, I don't have your kind of stories. And maybe that's why I don't have your kind of business. Because you were resilient, tenacious from the very, very beginning. So talk to
yes.
me about your journey to Click Mobile.
Yes. So when you came to Click, I never thought I'd have a company. I never dreamt of having a company.
Yeah.
I was working for a company called, so I fell in love. Oh my goodness. So after university, I fall in love with this girl. And I'm like, there is no way I'm going to Malawi and leaving this girl in Kenya.
Okay.
So I needed to get a job. So yeah. I got a job and I got the job and told them, guys, you don't have to pay me. All I need is a reason to tell my parents I'm in Kenya.
Okay.
So at least I am working.
That's what love
And my friend
you.
Lyndon Munetsi kept me in his house.
Yeah.
I'll always have respect for him.
Yeah.
And in the process, I started working closely with Brian Keeley and William Motende.
Mm.
But something interesting, I realized that I'm wearing official clothes the whole week.
Okay.
And I only get to wear the clothes I love on Sunday.
Mm.
So I'm like, is this how life is going to be?
Mm.
And when my boss comes in, I'm scared. It's
yeah.
like I'm a student now. I'm
yeah.
trying to see whether I've done my assignments,
yeah.
whether I've done my... Then I was like, no way. If this is how I'm going to live the rest
We're
of my life,
this.
School actually feels like a better place to be than a work environment.
Sure.
I said, I'm going to start a business.
Mm.
And that is how Click Mobile Dream began.
Why it? Why this company? Why USSD? Why this company and not anything else? But firstly, before you answer that question, where is the girl, Sam?
Hey, my friend, she kept me waiting in Nairobi from 7 a.m.
No,
to 4 p.m.
No,
the rest is history.
No, not the girl you were even willing to not get paid for. Come on.
Ish. Yeah.
Excuse
it is what it is.
But tell me, what drew you to the whole idea and the whole work of Click Mobile?
It's funny.
Yeah.
So I am doing my attachment in ECD.
Okay.
And Pastor Bina says, we've received 200,000 euros from a church person who says we should find digital ways of spreading the gospel.
Mm.
So I want you to research on ways we can spread the gospel.
Mm.
The moment I figured out these things during that research, that was my cue to leave ECD and go start Click Mobile.
Tell me why for you it became a business idea instead of, okay, here's the tool. What in your brain said, yo, there's opportunity here? Because any other person would say, oh, this is how it's done in this country. Let's do it like this as well.
I think I just saw the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I did tell Pastor Bina about it.
Yeah.
And obviously, the church is very structured. So there's
yeah.
certain things they won't do,
yep.
which I would have wanted them to do.
Yep.
So immediately I saw the opportunity and saw how big the telco space was. I had no reason to stay there. I had to just go and make it happen.
Whoa. Also, I think it got you at a very opportune time because you were looking for a way out and this became it, right?
Exactly.
So tell me, what do you guys do?
So we are a telecoms company. Mm-hmm. We obviously carry voice, SMS, and we do innovations on those different channels that are used in the telco space. Mm-hmm. For instance, we could connect to Vodacom, and Vodacom, when somebody is calling Malawi, that the call could come to us, then we route it to TNM.
Yeah.
Vodacom pays us, we pay TNM. Mm. So we're like the guys, that's the same even with messaging.
Mm.
Vodacom sends a message to TNM, we channel it to TNM. So we are the guys behind the scenes, in
this
a way, I
so
could say
interesting.
That.
This is so interesting because when somebody is making a call or sending a message, they have very little regard to what's happening in the background, and you are the guys
that's
in the background.
That's very true. That's very true.
This is so interesting. Now, did you have experience in this field? Because it sounds like something that happened upon you. How did you find your feet around this whole telco space?
I think after there was a lot of learning on the job, right? Yeah. I remember going to Macra and going to TNM and mobile operators. And there was sometimes, I remember when we're doing, you see these bank alerts?
Yes.
The way you get a notification. I remember when I was selling that idea to TNM back in 2010.
Yeah.
No bank was doing it.
Mm.
And we had to present. I had to convince them, how are you going to build this?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they were... it was becoming fashionable or becoming a norm to have an SMS alert.
Yeah.
We're already integrated, and that is something I was literally the first to start in Malawi.
I love it. I love it for our shapeshifters. Tell me, back then, the whole point of how you stumbled upon this was as a way to spread the gospel in a more modern digital way, right? Why do you continue to do it? What is the why behind Click Mobile?
I think for me, I've always wanted to create, be able to change the world, be able to help the less privileged, be able to support my family, and be able to create a working environment that's peaceful and conducive.
Mm.
And as one of my biggest drive is to make sure that we are not money driven, but we are purpose driven.
Oh, tell us more. Purpose is my favorite word in all the world. Tell us more.
Yeah. Yeah. So for instance, I run a couple of programs, like not a couple, but I fund people, school fees.
Oh, man.
I help widows. Yeah. I help the less fortunate.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel that is where the purpose is. If you can make a difference, if you can make somebody smile somewhere, then you have lived. It's not driving the big cars. It's not living in the big houses. But at the end of the day, my parents have a meal. My parents are retired, but they can get to the hospital. For me, that's contentment.
It sounds like Click Mobile, and I'm going to you'll get the joke. It sounds like Click Mobile is a vehicle for you to actually accomplish other things, right? So the object really is the funds that you get from the organization that allow you to then do the thing you believe you put on this earth to do.
Yes, correct.
I saw a story you recently posted on LinkedIn about how you got lost when going to grocery shopping. You were really looking for or to make Nzima, and you get lost, and this lady's like, hop onto my car, and you get into the car, and the lady is basically driving on reserve. You look to the back of her car, and there's clothes, which clearly indicates to you that this person is sleeping in this car. And this woman, after you realize, you're just like, yo, you need help. Let me help you. And the genuineness and, you know, just I guess also the humility that she exhibited in grabbing one item, two items. And you're just like, no. I'm getting you a full trolley of groceries. I want you to share why philanthropy is so important to you. When I read that story, it was really heartwarming. And I can imagine this is your life. You've told us now that this is what you do and this is where you find joy. what is the significance of philanthropy to you? And maybe do you have brushes of philanthropy that changed your life apart from the school situation?
You just got me emotional. Yeah, it's a weakness I have. I usually, yeah, because I just had that image come into my. Yeah, that lady was troubled. There are no two ways about it.
And the thing is, she was willing to help you in her trouble.
She was in a difficult situation.
To help her. Yeah.
Yeah, she was in a difficult situation. Mm. But I think God, you know, I keep saying, God speaks to us. Mm. And you use the word philanthropy. I don't think I'm a philanthropist.
Okay.
I just get by like anybody else. Mm. But I believe, you know, God leads us to people for a purpose and for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, You could be sending somebody school fees and the baby not going to school and they're using the money for something else. Mm. But in your books, you have paid school fees. Yeah. That is not a loss.
Yeah.
And when I met this lady and she told me my child is at my neighbor's, you could see the genuineness in her face. Mm. You could see the tears running her eyes. Mm. I said, I have a little extra money. I'm going to pay her 1 month rent and I'm going to get her groceries.
Yeah.
But my biggest challenge, to be honest with you, was what's going to happen afterwards, when all this is finished.
Yes, because your plan was...
And I think that is what has bothered me even after I left America to say, what is this lady doing? How is she surviving? Because those groceries are finished.
Yeah.
That rent is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you then make sure that those thoughts don't haunt you? Do you have ways of sustainably helping?
Yes, there are people I will help on a monthly basis and just adopt them as my own people.
Yeah.
There are people I will empower and give them a fishing rod to fish. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, with America, it's not my home, it's not my place. Yeah. I wouldn't know how to go about it.
Yeah.
But the little I can do in Africa, in Malawi, I try to do the best I can and within my capabilities and my abilities.
That's all you can do. That's all any of us can do. I would love to pivot back to Click Mobile and ask you what your biggest challenges have been so far. You know, I told you that I ran a company for 5 years and the company ran me down. Okay. But you're still standing. What challenges have threatened to wipe you out, but here you are still standing?
Capital and losses. I think the most difficult part of any business is to have cash flow to run it.
This is true.
You know, a lot of A students don't get their A's because they're also thinking of their food and their fees.
Mm.
But if they had their food, their fees, they would actually be A students.
Mm.
The same happens in the business space.
Mm.
If you don't have the capital, you are constantly thinking of how to make quick money. That is why you find somebody who's running a restaurant will go supply maize because they want to make quick money and they forget about the restaurant.
Yeah.
You've tried to apply a tender when your goal is to run something that is in clothing because you're trying to get quick money.
Yeah.
I have sold clothes. I have sold weaves. 100% human hair. You know those things? I've sold that.
Yeah.
I used to pick them in Kenya and sell them in Malawi because I was trying to raise capital.
Mm.
And then there is losses where you just meet dishonest people who lie to you and just take you steps back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think those are the two major challenges that I faced in the business space where you're moving smoothly and somebody just comes. Like, I'll give you an example. Last year, we lost 70,000 euros just like that because of somebody who just felt they could come and take and walk away and they know we would do nothing to them.
Mm. That is hectic. And how do you navigate, or how do you manage to stay afloat? So what are your ways of maintaining a healthy cash flow? Sam?
Come again with the question.
Oh, okay, so I was saying, and how do you manage to keep healthy cash flow amidst running your organization?
Oh, it's juggling. It's like what our mothers used to do, where they'll, when somebody eats daddy's piece of chicken, they'll sew together a wing plus a donut plus and just come up with something that looks like a thigh. And daddy's like, this looks really good.
Yeah.
He has no idea. There's flour in there. There's chunks in there.
Yeah.
It's the whole combination. One and two together, and just trying to make things happen. Like you have no alternative but to make it work.
Jeez, man. What kind of leader are you?
Ah, you should have asked my team that question.
What are they saying?
I mean, they've given me, I think a couple of years back, they gave me the Best Employer Award.
Okay.
So maybe I could be a good leader. I don't know, man. They're the ones to judge. Because obviously when I ask them, they will lie to me.
Yeah.
It's what they tell people behind my back that's actually the truth.
Yeah.
But I love my team. I think I'm surrounded by great people. Mm. And I think God just put me around amazing people, and we're a great family.
Yeah.
And I hope I lead them in the way that I've always wanted Click Mobile to be, a place of peace and a place of love and a place of, I don't want it to be a workplace of anxiety.
Yeah.
I want it to be a place where you wake up in the morning and you're excited to show up.
And maybe I should have asked it like this. Who impacted you the most? Which leader impacted you the most? And what about their leadership impacted you such that you took that with you as a practice in your own organization?
I've never been employed, right?
Yeah.
Like formally employed.
Yeah.
So 90% of what I practice is what I feel is right.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't quite learnt or walked in the footsteps of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
When the first person fell pregnant at my workplace, and she came to me and said, Sam, I'm expecting a baby.
Yeah.
What does the policy say about maternity leave?
Mm.
I sat down and inquired, and the standard was 3 months.
Okay.
It didn't make sense to me.
Oh.
How are you going to leave a 3-month-old baby with somebody else at home? This kid can't talk, can't literally doesn't even know anything.
Mm.
And a mother should come and work and leave this precious little baby at home.
Yeah.
And immediately I said, no, I'm going to make my maternity leave 1 year.
Sam, can I send my CV? What do you guys do there? Do you have a radio show?
Yes, so maternity leave at Click Mobile is 1 year.
Whoa.
It's always been 1 year. And I didn't learn it from anybody.
Mm.
Yes, you feel the absence. You feel the pinch of a resource that's missing because everybody is important in the organization.
Yeah.
But it does not make sense for me to leave a 3-month-old baby at home without the mother. It just doesn't add up.
Mm. You know what I'm understanding? How you lead is how you live. There's literally no difference between what you practice in your life and what you practice in your organization. And
I you just made me cry again. What is wrong with you? Oh my God.
I'm sorry, but it's true. It looks like the way you're leading your life, or the way you're living your life, is how you're leading other people and allowing for them to live the quality of life that you think is good. That is so beautiful.
Thank you very much.
That is really beautiful. So about my CV, I didn't get that answer.
Please send it. Actually, I'm looking at growing the team in a couple of weeks' time.
Fantastic.
So please do send a CV.
Fantastic. I don't know about the kids part, but I will find a way to get 1 year, 1 year leave.
That's the funny part. They don't get as pregnant as I would have loved them to be so that they enjoy this 1 year leave. They're always showing up at work.
And this is what is fascinating, right? A lot of these organizations don't give these privileges because they believe people will abuse them. But because people know your heart, they would not abuse you for any reason because your heart is for
them.
That's
true.
So why would you abuse the person who loves you and who you love as well?
Yes, that's very true. That's actually profound.
Ugh, I've got 5 minutes with you. And in these five minutes, I want us to talk about your relationship with money. Sam, what's your relationship status with money? Are you single? Are you taken? Are you in a committed relationship? What does it look like?
With money, right?
Yebo.
I think for me, money is a vehicle. I've been all I write off debt for anybody that owes me. So if you owe me and I'm going into a new year, I will tell you, you don't have to pay me back.
Hi, but Jubilee. So every year is Jubilee with you.
Yes, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I have been in debt before. I have run away from my own house because I have moved to another city because I'm in debt.
Mm.
I have failed to focus because I owe.
Mm.
And because I understand what it feels like to owe somebody, I don't want anybody to feel like that towards me. As such, if you owe me and you genuinely cannot pay me, at the end of the year, I will free you. Number one. Number two, I've lost a lot of money. I've lost 100 million Malawi kwacha. I've lost 70,000 euros. Ahead of humanity. Because I don't believe there's any amount of money that can replace umuntu or a person.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
So for me, you can take all the money I have from me. I won't feel like I will hurt, but for me, money is just a vehicle to get us to get things done, but it's not everything. That is my relationship with money.
It sounds like you're in a stable, committed relationship with money. Like, I know my money can go. It will never cheat on me. I will never worry. I don't have insecurities about money because it will come and it'll go, or it'll go and it'll come right back.
And that's me right there. I don't really care about money. I work for it. And when I have it, I can take my whole team to Cape. I take my team, the whole team to Cape Town every November. And they are spread all over Africa. We have some guys in Benin, Ghana, Malawi, Botswana, Kenya. And I will say, guys, let's go to Cape Town and just have a good time. And I won't put them in hotels where they have to think whether they should turn or not.
Yeah.
I'll make sure they're very comfortable because we work for money, but money should not define us.
Yeah.
We should define money.
Yeah. I just need to put out a notice to my producer, Bongi, if you're listening. This serves as notice. As of tomorrow, Click Mobile is my new employer. Okay. All right. This is so fascinating. Who taught you to think like this about money?
I think it's the experiences I've gone through with money. I've seen people who are very close to me insult me because I owe them. And I genuinely am in a position where I can't pay. I've hidden under my bed and my mom has locked the door because somebody... Because by the time you're giving me money, we have a relationship, right?
Yeah,
you're my friend.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, if I'm under the bed because my friend wants his money and I can't produce it, it means something is wrong.
Yeah. Something
so
wrong.
I realize how if you overput love and effort on money, it's so easy to forget humanity. It's so easy to kill. It's so easy to hurt.
Yeah.
It's so easy to not even consider the working conditions of your team just because you are focusing on money.
Mm-hmm. What weren't you taught about money that you had to learn the hard way later down the road?
You can never use money to motivate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, money is a very short-term motivator because that means you have to
Okay.
keep increasing it
Yeah.
to keep the motivation.
So what gets people motivated? What keeps people?
I think people want to be treated as people. I've seen I've seen people stay in my organization for 6 months when we just began without a salary because they understand that the place is conducive. You understand? And one thing about people you work with, and I'm telling this to any entrepreneur that's watching, they know, they see. So, for instance, if we are all waiting for a payment from the government of 50 million rand, right? And because we are all waiting for that payment, there are no salaries. Everybody's going to be patiently waiting. When that payment comes and the boss is going to Dubai with his wife, they're buying new carpets, they're buying new cars,
It
and
erodes
you've not
trust.
taken care of these people you're waiting with, you are putting yourself into a situation that you'll have to be changing employees every other week.
And what could be
So,
worse is those people could squeeze you out of your own business because you've eroded trust. They really hate you at this point.
exactly. So you want to first focus on the people that matter, and I think your team is what matters.
So good. So good. What would you. We spoke when we started the conversation, we spoke about that little 10-year-old in Zim that was dreaming of a beautiful car and all of those things. If you were sitting right now looking at the 10-year-old Sam, what would you say to him? I can imagine he had chubby cheeks. What would you say to 10-year-old chubby cheeks Sam?
No, I will say well done, Sam. I think it's been 15 years of Click Mobile, and I'm really proud of myself. I think I've done really well.
How are you
Yeah,
changing the world,
it's been
Sam?
tough, but I've done really well.
Love it. Well done. How are you changing the world?
I think for me, the number of projects I'll be looking, I'm starting a small NGO that I'm looking at creating an incubation center in Malawi
Love it.
that helps young businesses, young people to start their journeys. One thing I struggled with is an office space. I want to create rooms where young people can come and use them as office without even having to pay
Oh,
rent.
man.
I have there's a soccer team I play with. I've started employing them. We're building a stadium that we'll be playing soccer from, and just so I'm focusing on the little I can do with the people that are around me.
Oh man, we focused extensively on your career and a bit on your personal life. Before I let you go, talk to us about the music. Sam, how? I understand people are multi-passionate, right? But you gave us a whole album for your 40th birthday. You gave us Christmas carols. Where does this love for music come from? How does it feature into everything you're doing?
Now, I thought I could sing. I really thought I could sing. Ask Spanglish, she'll tell you. I used to sing in the children's choir in primary school. I sang in a couple of groups. I've done solos, and then I met Johnny Vilakazi, I met Siyanqoba Mthethwa, Ndushezi, Xolani Ncwango, and they told me, "You can't sing." I'm like, "No, Sam, don't sing. You can't."
And you could trust it from those people because those people sing.
Yeah, so each time I hear them sing, they'll come to my house and they'll fellowship, and I'm like, "You know what, guys?
Actually,
I accept defeat."
you're right.
Yes, but because God led me to these amazing people, like almost at least 99% of those people you see on that video are people I talk to personally. They're my friends. I love
Looks
them.
like it.
And I said, you know what, guys? Let's do this. And they all came in, and it's something beautiful now.
The production quality. Oh, Sam, please. If that is anything to go by, I know you are running a stellar organization there at Click Mobile. It's brilliant.
Thank you very much.
I loved talking to you.
I enjoyed talking to you, but next time, don't make me cry.
I can't promise anything. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry in advance. I'm sorry for that time.
Yeah, I see that.
What message do you have for 10 from for Sam 10 years from now? I know that's like they'll be in your 50s. What if you were now seated in your 50s and you looked at a recording, what would you want to hear the Sam say?
Well done, faithful
Oh,
servant.
enter.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that's
I
what I'd
love
love to hear.
that. I love that. And what are you doing to make sure that you hear those words?
I'm doing the best I can. Actually, I'm planning to retire from Click Mobile in a few years' time, maybe
Okay.
at most 2, and then just focus it. Because Click Mobile is a vehicle to make money
Yes.
and to survive. But I want
Yes.
to do things that are close to my heart, like the music, like the charities. So I want to do things that are more fulfilling and more closer to my heart.
Oh, I love that so much. Can we expect another album soon?
Yes, by God's grace, by God, I have the people around me. So anytime, it's actually one of the easiest things to do. Yeah, so you could. You just
Okay.
never know.
Sam, call me. Let me be the program director for your next album, okay? For your next production. Okay?
You remember you meant to send me a CV, so it looks like you've got two opportunities now.
Listen, I'm in your world now. I am
Yes,
immersed, whether you
definitely.
like it or not. This was so much fun. Thank you for coming through. I can't wait to see all the amazing things you will do in the future.
Thank you very
And
much.
for the things you've already done, well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Where can people contact you? Where can people find you?
What? Okay, they can come on Facebook, maybe look for Sam
Okay,
Foster Chiwanda.
why were you
But I
conflicted?
already have over 5,000 friends there, so I can't get any
Oh,
more requests.
look at you,
So I don't
celebrity.
know.
Celebrity.
Instagram, maybe, yes, they can
Okay.
find me on Instagram. Or LinkedIn is the best.
Okay.
At least that means they're coming for serious business.
Yes, for serious business. Oh, man, have a
Yeah.
lovely evening and good luck for the rest of the
Nice
year.
talking to
Lovely speaking to you too.
you. Okay, thank you.
Bye, Sam.
Right.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.